Brian just mentioned the church app, and that's a great place every week to join in right now during this time, during message time. So at Church Center, Church Center is the name of the app. You can select Manor Church and load it up each week right there. Our message notes and the opportunity to interact with the scriptures that are embedded right there, as well as look ahead to the coming week. So I encourage you, if you don't have the app yet, to get it. I also encourage you to interact with it during our teaching time each week and throughout the week for your ongoing growth in Jesus. Scott shared in a great way our great praise to God for your work across the last couple of weeks in affirming and confirming and discerning related to church board and related to our annual spending, giving, ministry plan. So again, I want to reflect along with Scott a thank you to you for your faithfulness in those ways. And I want to invite you to pray with me right now. Let's pray in a meaningful way as we dive into God's word. Let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are so grateful to you. We're so thankful for the previous year and all that you brought us through. You continued to be faithful and future-oriented for us. You allowed us a really, really great momentum together in making it all about you, Jesus. And I just ask you, as we dedicate our hearts and ourselves to you during 24, to fill us up with all that we need. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do and what you're already doing here at the outset of the year. Right now, as we dive into your word, invite you to speak into those deep places and wide places in our souls. Please help us this morning, Lord. Please help us sense your timing and trust you more, Father. We love you and we thank you. We ask you by your word and by your spirit to open our hearts, please, like flowers before you, ready to receive. And then ready to grow in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen. It's really rather stunning, the role that time plays across our humanity. The role that time plays. Waking each morning. For many of us, maybe battling that snooze button all day long, showing up on time or trying to show up on time for appointments. Dropping in bed at night, maybe early, but likely late. Time chases us each day, doesn't it? Time does that. All manner of timepieces play a role, even on the big screen in classic movies, like that pestering tick-tock of a crocodile in Peter Pan. Or the sands in an hourglass for Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. Or a tick-tock, tick-tock of a time bomb in almost every other 80s movie. Have you noticed that? How many 80s movies? There's a time bomb ticking somewhere in the movie. More than a little irony that as I wrote this message this week, I felt the tug of a deadline. And how ironic that some of you right now are thinking, okay, Pletcher, how long will this sermon last? Time ticking. Time will be ticking down each quarter of tonight's big game, right? And a big question will be, can Andy Reid manage time right so that his Chiefs pull off the 220th win of Super Bowl? Yeah. Andy seems to have a knack for wrestling with time toward the end of a game. Andy's issue tonight is really a microcosm of this little big issue we all face. So if you're very young, you eagerly say, I can't wait until. And you say that because it's all out in front of you. And it seems like nothing can get here soon enough. If you're now quite well seasoned, we'll call it that, well seasoned, you're saying, where did it all go? And why so fast? The seasons seem to fly by faster and faster each year, and suddenly it's Christmas again. How do we manage? Better yet, how do we love and lead well with the time we're given? How do we love and lead well with the time we're given? As we fly into February, further and further from our best intentions of the new year, we start losing track of time. Maybe true already for you that you're losing track. You've already forgotten the resolutions and the best intentions, or it just seems already like whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. The days are ticking down on the calendar. And oh yeah, February's here and we get a bonus day, that leap year thing, but still, time is racing. It's Jesus' half-brother James who so poignantly quipped, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." It's interesting that half-brother James says something that sounds a lot like what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 when he says, "Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have enough evil of its own. Sufficient to the day is the evil that comes with it." James scoops that up and in James' own kind of in-your-face way says, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time, and then vanishes." One of my earliest memory verses as a kid with my dad was big on helping me as just a little guy start to learn God's word, and this right here, James 4:14. I'm using this booklet. And the irony is, I remember it like it was just yesterday, and whoosh, all these years later, this little booklet, the very first memory verse in the booklet, section one, the title, "Life is Brief," in James 4:14, and these words. Context for James, in-your-face wisdom, by the way. There are people who love James. If you're kind of a get-after-it kind of person, you tend to love James. I've had plenty of people say to me, "Man, James can be a jerk." Well, why? Because he just tells it like it is. He's like right after it. The context around this verse goes like this. "Don't brag, thinking you got time by the tail, boasting about plans for today or tomorrow, big travel or business success and profit. Like too many of us quite often say, it's all gonna happen just like I schemed." Yeah, how often has it really worked that way for you? Instead, James says life's time span is actually very wispy, breath-like. This translation says mist. Others say vapor. It's like brisk morning breath during late fall, winter, and early spring when you're out there walking the dog and you got a headlamp on or a flashlight with you and you go, oh, and there's that vapor in front of you. Or you step out onto the back patio or deck in the morning and you got your coffee in hand and it's piping hot and whew, it's rising off of there and you go, now, what's the deal with mist or vapor like that? What happens? It's here and then quickly gone. Is James trying to be morbid? No. He's saying, trust Father more. Trust Father, your heavenly Father. Trust him more. His will, what he wants that's right and righteous, his timing. James is saying, trust Father's take on time. Trust Father's take on time. Vital we grasp our own brevity, our frailty, and all-out dependence on the Lord. Catch this. These words can serve as something of a synopsis of all we're going to interact with in the next few minutes in God's word. Catch this. Father's timing is always unique, typically very different than our preferred schedule. When we're trusting, following Jesus, he grows our patience, resilience, and trust even more. Listen to that again. Father's timing is always unique. Typically very different than our preferred schedule. We build our preferred schedules, right? When we're trusting, following Jesus, he grows our patience, resilience, and trust even more. This little phrase appears in the Bible and can help us in big ways. A little while. A little while. What can God's take on time accomplish in us, for us, through us? See, if we're willing to slow down enough to grapple with God's take on time, well, it will accomplish some great things in your life, in you, through you. A hearty handful of accomplishments. Hearty handful of accomplishments when we dare to trust God's take on time. Here's the first. Psalm 37:10. The psalmist says, a little while. And the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. Here's the first accomplishment. If we dare to trust Father's timing, God's take on time calms us down. Father's take on time calms us down. We get frustrated, don't we? We get frustrated about evil people and unjust situations. We tend to fret over their supposed success. We can get really worked up over what seems so wrong when evildoers are living it up. Watch some newsreels. Well, don't watch too many newsreels, but if you come up on them and you watch one or two, you get sucked in, you see so much injustice. Seems like the wrong side is winning, like the darkness is prevailing and what's right and good is failing. The verses right before this say, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Again, this is Psalm 37. Here's where it's wise to take a deep breath. When you're frustrated, when you see what seems like endless injustice and wrongdoing all around you and in our world at large and flashing in the newsreels, take a deep breath and trust your Father's timing. Your Father will settle the score. He will make it right. So stop fuming and fussing and fighting deep within your soul. The Father's take on time. When you start on the adventure of really trusting the Father's timing, his take on time will calm you down. He'll calm you down. And most of us need that. I do. Many years after this psalm was composed, God's people came out of exile back to Jerusalem, and they did so under the leadership of a man named Zerubbabel. What a name. I don't know one of you that's toyed with that name for the baby coming up. Zerubbabel. His leadership. They were working to rebuild the Jewish temple, big task, and the work was discouraging due to what seemed like meager resources and slow progress. Through the prophet Haggai. Haggai 2, verse 6. Haggai 2, 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, there it is, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. In a little while, God proceeds again in what's surrounding this verse to detail how such a shaking will bring other nations, many peoples, right to Jerusalem. They'll bring their wealth. That's the big deal. They'll bring their wealth. And so the temple's glory will be greater than ever. Here's the second accomplishment when we trust our Father's timing. God's take on time encourages us in important projects. God's take on time encourages us in important projects. those vital and vibrant assignments he's given us. Yes, in our daily tasks, the things he's given us as good, good work, when we get weary and when it feels just all out hard to keep going, the Father's take on time encourages us. It's vital to grasp this in your heart. Vital to grasp this in your heart and let God encourage and motivate you when you're fretting over resources and delays in progress. He says, trust me more. The Father says, my timing, trust my timing for all you need. The Lord loves to employ this potent phrase, in just a little while, a little time, or a little longer, just a little while, a little time, a little longer. Jesus said this a bunch in order to blend urgency with peace and draw his followers closer. Jesus specialized in doing that. John 7:33, but Jesus told them, I will be with you only a little longer. Then I will return to the one who sent me, meaning I'm going back to the Father who sent me on this mission. John 12:35 echoes very similar, but in a little bit more picturesque way. So Jesus said to them, the light, meaning himself, the light of the world, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. In John 13:33, again, correlating concepts from Jesus, John 13:33, little children, yet a little while. Did you catch that? Little children, we talked about little children a few weeks back. Little children, yet a little while, I am with you. Note what he says, I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. And then John 14:19, will you read it aloud with me? Let's read it together. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. Yet a little while, because I live, you also will live. God's take on time. The Father's take on time crafts urgency and compels us to peacefully follow Jesus. And he does both. This blend, this crafting of an urgency that says, seize the moment. Live right. Walk in the light. Make those good and godly choices. And peacefully follow Jesus. This helps awaken, it truly awakens us to the abiding presence of Christ with us. Have you awakened lately in a fresh way, in a new way, to the life of Jesus for you, in you, through you? The kind of awakening, that awakening to his abiding presence that compels you to spend more time with Jesus in his holy words, listening in prayer with the Holy Spirit, and taking holy action in service in Jesus' footsteps. When you really deeply, deeply trust the Father's take on timing, it starts to craft in you this urgency that calls forth the best of your life mission and obedience and truly walking with Jesus, and floods your soul with a peace that deeply passes all understanding. Why? Because you're trusting Father's timing. Trusting Father's timing. And that abiding presence, you're awakened in great ways. So what happens? We surrender to his wise ways to trust his timing for real and lasting growth in us and through us. Remember, Father's timing is always unique, typically very different than our preferred schedule when we're trusting. Following Jesus, he grows our patience, resilience, and trust even more. Here's another accomplishment when we trust his timing. Father's take on time reminds us Jesus is coming again. The Father's take on time reminds us Jesus is coming again. Hebrews 10, verse 37, for yet a little while, there it is, the coming one will come and will not delay. It's very tempting to grow weary in our waiting for fulfillment of this big promise. Every generation of Christ's followers has struggled with this issue of saying, but is he going to come? He said he's coming back, but is he ever going to do it? So easy to wonder, will Jesus ever really come back? More fully trust Father's timing, and it resets in you a calmer, confident future view. You know the power of a reset? How important reset is? Happens in our family every so often. There's some device that's just not working, got glitches galore, and one of the kids or Nance will say to me, what do you think I ought to do about this? And I'm no techno wizard. So I come up with my best techno wizardry and I say, have you reset it lately? Sounds so wise. 98% of the time that works. What's important in all of us? A reset. It's why you need to sleep at night. It's why you need to recharge those devices. It's why you need to shut them down and turn them back on. It's why every so often your car's gotta go in for maintenance. You need that new battery. Reset is crucial. And we get so weary walking the dark paths of life and wondering, is Jesus ever coming back? And it's this promise, Hebrews 10:37, yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. Do you know a day is coming when we're all gonna join in together in that great gathering, and we're gonna laugh and rejoice. We're gonna laugh and rejoice about how weary we got along the way. And how much we struggle. We're going to laugh and rejoice because he's making all things new. He will redeem. He will restore. He will do the ultimate reboot, the ultimate reboot, the ultimate renewal. Yet a little while. He is truly coming again. He will return and restore all things. So hold on a little longer. Hold on a little longer. A lot of us need to hear the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speak that into our hearts today. Because you feel like quitting. Hold on a little longer. Some of us need to be kind enough, gracious enough, good news oriented enough that we say it to several other people this week. Hold on a little longer. When they look at you and go, huh, why? Because the Father's timing is best. We trust his timing. And Jesus really is coming again. Hold on a little while longer. Here's another accomplishment. When you really trust the Father's timing, 1 Peter 1:6, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, there it is, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. And then jump to the end of Peter's letter, 1 Peter 5:10, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Wow. How about that for promise? Grievous trials, suffering for a little while. He will restore and confirm and strengthen and establish you. God's take on time grows your patient resilience. God's take on time grows your patient resilience. See, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always longing to do more in you and through you, to grow more in you so that he can do more through you. And it's when we dare to actually trust the Father's timing more that we make room for the garden of God's work in us to grow us more so that we can go with that blessing And he can do more good news work through us. God's take on time grows our patient resilience. And it takes patient resilience to go on to do that next thing God has in store for you. Truly. Great big thanks for playing along so well during this series with Legos. A bunch of you, way more than we dreamed of, brought in Lego crafts out there. Extra creative, very, very, very cool. Thank you. Today's the final day of the series. Please take your Legos home. I probably won't play with them during the week this week, so feel free to take them. You know, there are record-setting Lego Star Wars Millennium Falcons. I think this is really fun. This one right here, the couple shouts about theirs. Took 9 months, they say, 9 months to craft this one. A recent Instagram reel, though, brags about one bigger that cost, ready for this, $50,000. And here's the real kicker. It took 14 months to build. I'm not patient enough to sit with one for a couple of evenings and work on it. 14 months. That's a long time to work on a Lego project when you consider all of these pieces and so much planning and masterminding and so much patience needed in order to build that. Trust the Father's timing. Trust the Father's timing, and it builds your resilience for tough tasks and trying times so God can keep using you. It builds your resilience for tough tasks and trying times so that God can keep using you to bless your family and your coworkers and neighbors and those in your sphere of travel influence as you travel the globe, if you jet the globe, so God can use you. But it means willingly abiding in him and resting in him instead of fussing and stressing and pushing and trust Father's timing. Builds your resilience. We tend to plan. I do it, you do it, we plan, and that's good. But then we rush and we push and we tend to do the same with God about the seasons of our souls. A tale is told. There was once a fellow who with his dad farmed a little piece of land. Several times a year, they would load up the old ox-drawn cart with vegetables and go into the nearest city to sell their produce. Except for their name and the patch of ground they owned, father and son had little in common. The old man believed in taking it easy. He was in that season of life. The boy was in a whole different season. He was usually in a hurry, the go-getter, get-after-it type. One morning, very early, they hitched up the ox to the loaded cart and started on their long journey. The son figured it out. If they walked faster, kept going all day and night, they'd make market by early the next morning. So he kept prodding the ox with a stick and urging the beast to go faster. "Take it easy, son," said the old father. "You'll last longer. But if we get to market ahead of the others, we'll have a better chance of getting good prices," argued the son. 4 hours and 4 miles down the road, they came to a little house. The father smiled, said, "Here's your uncle's place. Let's stop in and say hello."
"But we've lost an hour already," exclaimed the hotshot.
"Then a few more minutes won't matter. My brother and I live so close, yet we see each other so seldom," the father answered slowly. Boy fidgeted and fumed inside while the two old men laughed and talked away an hour. Finally, on the move again, the man took his turn leading the ox, and as they approached a fork in the road, the father led the ox to the right.
"The left is the shorter way," said the son.
"Oh, I know it," replied the old man. but this way is much prettier.
Have you no respect for time? The young man shouted.
Oh, I respect it very much. That's why I like to use it. To look at beauty and enjoy each moment to the fullest. The winding path led through graceful meadows, wildflowers, and along a rippling stream, all of which the young man missed as he churned within, boiling with anxiety. We'll never get there. We'll never get there. He didn't even notice how lovely the sunset was that day. Twilight found them in what looked like a huge, flourishing garden. The old man breathed in the aroma, listened to the babbling brook, and pulled the ox to a halt. Let's sleep here, he sighed. This is the last trip I'm making with you, snapped the sun. You're more interested in watching sunsets and smelling flowers than making money.
Why, that's the nicest thing you've said to me in a long time, smiled the father.
A couple of minutes later, he was snoring, and the young lad glared back at the stars. The night dragged on slowly. The sun was restless, and before sunrise, the young man shook his father awake. They hitched up and went on. About a mile down the road, they happened upon another farmer, total stranger, trying to pull his cart out of a ditch.
Let's give him a hand, whispered the old man, and lose more time. The boy exploded.
Relax, son. You might be in a ditch sometime yourself. We need to help others in need. Don't forget that. Boy looked away in anger. It was almost 8 o'clock that morning. By the time the other cart was back on the road, suddenly a great flash lit up the sky in front of them. What sounded like thunder followed, and beyond the hills, the sky grew dark.
Looks like a big rain in the city, said the old man.
Yeah, and if we had hurried, we'd be almost sold out by now, grumbled the son.
Take it easy. You'll last longer, and you'll enjoy life so much more, counseled the kind, wise father.
It was late afternoon by the time they got to the hill overlooking the city. They stopped and stared down at it for a long, long time. Neither of them said a word. Finally, the young man put his arm around his father's shoulders, pulled him closer, and said,
I see what you mean, Dad.
They turned their cart around and began to roll slowly away from what had once been the city of Hiroshima.
Father's timing is always unique, typically very different than our preferred rush, push schedule.
When we're trusting,
following Jesus, he grows our patience, resilience, and trust even more.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you don't work on our timing. And I say that with a gulp because along with the majority of us, tend to push, rush. Want it all done with a tight-knit bow on it yesterday and the day before. We thank you, Lord. From the depths of our heart, we thank you that you work with us. And we thank you that you're crafting within us that blend of urgency and peace to abide with you and let you grow in every season. that garden within our souls. So, Lord, in these moments right now, I ask you, I boldly invite you to keep doing that faithful work in me and in my friends gathered here and across the screen watching online. I pray, dear God, that in every way you'll help us trust your timing, Father. Help us trust your take on time. And do that good work of growth in us and through us for the sake of others. Please, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.